Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sounding Social podcast. It's me, Eliza, and we have a lot to unpack in the pop culture world since the last podcast. So let's just jump in. It's always good to start with a Kardashian story because you know that it's a good safe bet that there is always some drama going on. There's always something there. There's never like a smooth sailing week or like day, which makes it very interesting for us, but must suck for them. Okay, so if you guys know, Joy Spinelli, who you obviously know if you know the Kardashians, was their makeup artist for the longest time, and she was always in pictures with them and was always seen photographed with them, with paparazzi. And then a couple months ago, maybe even more, there was less pictures, then it went to no pictures, and now there's reports saying that they are no longer speaking, and they have all unfollowed Joy. So that's kind of like tactic Kardashian, pretty much tactic anyone. Like if I'm tired of someone's post or I want to like send some type of message, you like unfollow. And even if it's for like a week or like a day, you get that person's attention. You know what I mean? So they all unfollowed her. So it wasn't just like one, okay, like maybe they're not using her anymore or there was a confrontation. But they all unfollowed her, which is a lot of publicity down the garbage. But does it really matter at this point? So Joyce has been with them for over a decade. So she was kind of the OG in like those golden years of Kardashians, like especially like in 2012, like pre-kids for like Kim when she was like right after Chris but before Kanye. That was like a really fun time. And when they had like their, you guys remember the Kardashian jeans like at Sears, and they had that Sears line. That to me was like the highlight of the Kardashians for me because there was so many people that were still against them and thought that they were dumb and this and that. It was just like a reality show, girls. And I like fully invested. I went to Sears. I bought the jeans. I bought Khloe's because I'm tall. And I remember just being like, like I like the Kardashians and you don't. Like you don't know what you're missing out. And then like all of a sudden they stopped their thing at Sears. And then after that they just kind of went full on popular, but like everywhere, like spread like wildfire all around the world. And then I was like, oh, okay, I guess everyone likes them now and I'm less interested in loving them. But she was with them for that whole like big rise, kind of pulling them away from the reality world and putting them into like Hollywood and making them like fully bona fide superstars, which is what they are. So she, Joy Spinelli, she's a really amazing makeup artist. If you guys don't know her makeup, like you should go check her Instagram because she is a really good makeup artist. So she can give you some ideas with her looks. But Joyce posted a picture, or not a picture, but like a message. And she basically wished Khloe a happy birthday and the post went ignored. So like nobody answered. And usually like if someone wishes you happy birthday, like it's only right to say thank you so much, or like at least put like a heart emoji, like anything to say, okay, I got it, because we all know that they saw it and no one responded. And it's not like the Kardashians to keep things private. It's if someone extends the olive branch, they'll snap about it, they'll Insta about it, they'll tweet about it. You will find out. So maybe on this season of Keeping Up, we'll know what happens. Anyway, but then Joyce this morning, she posted a picture of herself saying, and there's some language coming up, y'all. It's fuck with me, I dare you. So there's a robe and she has it says fuck with me, I dare you. And this seems honestly to be like a direct thing because she wished them happy birthday after there was no response. People really did digging. They figured out they no longer follow her. No one responded to her. And I guess now people are starting to take sides. Are you team this? Are you team that? Even though no one literally has any idea what happened. But I just love how this shit works. Like, you're just like, oh, I'm on Kim's side because she's Kim. Or I'm on Joy's side because I love her makeup. It's like, you don't even know what happened. But y'all can totally take a side. I don't mind. So, yeah. Some people are saying there was problems with you know, her makeup. She wasn't taking as much time. She was focusing on herself. She was pulling away as if, like, she got what she wanted from them and now she's kind of doing her own thing. Other people are saying because she's coming out with a cosmetics line that a lot of people are excited about because, like I said, she's been with them for over a decade. So if anyone knows secrets, it's Joyce, and she is a bona fide makeup artist in her own right. And kind of has her own aesthetic. So there's no way that her line won't do well and won't be direct competition for KKW Beauty and Kylie Cosmetics. So it could be that, but I don't really see them as being threatened by someone else's company. I don't see the Kardashians as being as petty as that. Like, yes, they are petty for certain things, but they're all so incredibly rich. And there are other brands out there, like real established brands, not to say theirs aren't, but that are established for over like 20 years, you know? So if they can break into that market and still be super successful, I don't see how like a new brand is gonna really make them shake in their high heels. So I don't think it's that. I just think that something happened with the friendship. I'm not sure. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, because as early as 2017, they were talking, like mid 2017. So something happened within this past year. So stay tuned. We'll see. Anyways, they're rich and so is she. So y'all will figure it out. Okay, on to this breaking news that basically hit overnight is Drake admitting and confirming that he is a father. You are the father. So the rapper who is 31, which I didn't even know he was 31. I thought he was like 27, but okay. So he's not like a kid who's like, you know, trying to figure it out. He's like in his 30s. Good for you. He basically admitted on his track on the Scorpion album that he is a dad and he has a son with the adult movie star Sophie Brousseau. So she's a French, a porn star, which is adult movie star. She's a porn star, maybe retired. Former. So she's retired. So she's no longer working. So she gave birth in October 2017. And Drake, there was rumors swirling that he did father a child, but those rumors were stopped really quickly. And I think why people were not speculating more is because usually when there's rumors like this, like, we hear about it all the time and it's like, just admit it. And it becomes like pitchfork vibes. There was none of that here. I remember I heard about it and you probably did too. And it was after Pusha T kind of stirred the pot and they were having like a rap battle or something and he leaked that, you know, he has a son, like, we'll take care of your son, something along those lines. And so he kind of brought it to light, but on a much larger scale. And so what Drake has said is that I wasn't hiding my kid from the world. I was hiding the world from my kid, which I completely understand. Honestly, I don't really, I don't get the whole obsession with babies of celebrities. Like, I get it. If you're a celebrity, you're going to cause so much more shit if you don't, like, show a picture of your kid, like, once. You know what I mean? Like, perfect example is Katie Holmes and Suri Cruz. Like, Suri Cruz lives in New York. Like, there are some mean streets in New York. It's a big city. A lot of stuff happens there. But we know Suri Cruz. Like, if I saw her, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, I think that that's so-and-so's daughter, because I would have never seen her before. I'm just like, oh, that's like Suri Cruz. That's Katie Holmes' daughter. Like, I see her literally all the time. She can be my cousin at this point. So I'm not interested in like getting pictures of her and like, oh, does she look like Tana? She's like Katie. Like, I don't care, because I can see she's a kid. Like, good for you. She's a kid. I don't care that much. I guess they're scared of like pedos and pervs, but like, I don't know. I don't really get the whole, like, I don't want to show my baby. There's like 1,000 filters on a baby. And it's like, honestly, just show your kid and like, that's it. Like, be over it. And if you're not going to show your kid, like, don't show them at all. Which is kind of, I get Drake. Like, he doesn't want the kid to be exposed and to get mocked or ridiculed or put in danger in any way, because he's obviously not with the mother of his child. So you don't know where she's living. You don't know what's going on there. So I get it. He wants to keep him under wraps. I don't think, and I saw some people saying, like, you know, he denied his child. I don't think he denied his child. I think if this bitch is getting child support and is getting paid very well per month, because if someone would have said, oh, he has a kid, that rumor would have been out there. Like, any person, especially with, you know, her past credentials, you know, she's not working at a Fortune 500 here. She's also retired. So she's not making serious bank, I'm assuming. She would have pounced for that child support. She would have gone to every news station, like TMZ, Insta, like literally anything, Daily Mail, like People, Us Weekly, Star. Like, she would have went all around American tabloids and just ripped him to shreds. But she didn't, which leads me to believe that he does pay child support, and they kind of came to an agreement that everything was fine. Because according to Daily Mail, in 2017, in May of 2017, she claimed she was 3 months pregnant with his child and had hired attorneys to begin proceedings to seek child support. But then from May till now, it's almost July of 2018. That's a huge amount of time to not have this be in the news. So he buried this very quickly. He probably proved paternity. They kept everything under wraps. She probably signed a non-disclosure agreement. And they probably have a really good agreement because no one's really speaking about it. And I think whatever works for them, works for them. As long as he is taking care of the child, that's really all we should care about. Do I care to see a picture of the kid? Sure. Am I jonesing for it and, like, I can't sleep at night and I just, like, wonder and wonder and wonder? Not really. I'm more, like, I got excited when, like, Prince William and Kate Middleton had their kids because they're going to be, like, royalty and crowns and the whole thing. That, to me, was, like, a big deal because, like, those kids are not just, like, they're not celebrities' kids. They're, like, the king's kids, the future king's kids. So, like, that's exciting to me. And, like, they show the baby anyways. And now, like, when, example, when we see Prince George, we're not like, oh, my God, I need another picture right away. It's like, I know what Prince George looks like. He's super cute. Moving on. He's a kid. I don't care that much. Like, I feel like celebrities think that everyone really cares about their kids that much. I actually don't. If you're going to keep your kid quiet, a la Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling, keep your kid quiet. I don't even know if they have 2 daughters, 3 daughters, 4 daughters. They can have, like, a total football team, and I don't know. And what makes it work for them is that they're not posting pictures of, like, their kids' feet, the back of their head. Like, I find that to be so much weirder. Like, you're not going to show me your kid's face, but, like, you'll show me their toes and their hair. Like, I don't, like, no one cares about that. Like, it's not that serious. There's, people have other stuff going on in their life except for caring about a picture of your kid. So I feel like if you're going to do the kid thing, either go the full Katie Holmes and the Suri Cruz route and make her walk on the streets and nobody cares anymore, because we know what she looks like. She's pretty, good for her. She's a kid. Or you go, like, the Drake route and, like, the Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling route, where, like, you keep the kids hidden. And when they're old enough, they can say, hey, you know what? I don't mind posting on Instagram. I don't mind my face. Then they can say what they like and they don't like. But other than that, I really don't care about celeb kids. Like, it's not that serious for me. So if he shows us, good. And if he doesn't, that's his prerogative because it's his kid. So as long as he's paying that child support, which we know he is, good on that porn star for getting in while it's hot and getting that child support. Good for you, girl. You did it. Now she's good for a while. Okay, the next story, which I still don't know if this is true. I'm still very skeptical, and I know people are going to probably, like, give me shit, but whatever. Priyanka Chopra was at a wedding, not a wedding, sorry, an engagement bash in Mumbai. So they went to an engagement party in Mumbai, and she's wearing this beautiful sari. I'm looking at it right now. It's beautiful. And she looks gorgeous because she is gorgeous. And she's with Nick. Like, they're actually taking pictures together. But I don't know. Something just is off here. Like, how do they know each other? Where did they meet? She's 35, he's 25. Like, how do they know each other? What do they talk about? Like, I don't know. I don't know if this is real. Like, his dating history is very odd to me. He dated Selena Gomez and then Miley Cyrus. Don't forget Delta Goodrem, that, or Goodrem. I don't know what her name is. She's like that Australian singer. He dated her. And then he dated, I think after her, he dated someone else. Maybe. And then he dated Olivia Culpo, which I think is his most recent ex, who Olivia Culpo is dating Danny Amendola. And I love Danny Amendola and her together. So if you guys like Olivia Culpo, like, I'm on that train. So I think that was his last serious relationship. And that was a while ago. I don't really know what these guys have in common because I don't know. I don't know what they talk about. Like, I don't know. He's very philanthropic. So is she. So maybe they just talk about, like, being good people and being charitable and just being, like, pretty. I think they just talk about, like, being good looking and both being fit. So I guess that makes sense now that I'm talking about it out loud. They're both good looking. So, yeah. Good for them. Like I said, when, like, two good-looking, like, wealthy people meet, I think that that makes sense. It's destiny. You're not shocked by that at all. So, good for you. I hope you enjoy your courtship. And there's rumors that they're getting engaged. I don't know if you guys saw this in, like, a month. I don't even know how rumors like that come out. Like, did Nick leak to a jeweler that they're getting engaged? Honestly, I don't know. I just find this all so crazy. At the end of the day, I think the Jonas that, like, has the most awesome life is Kevin, who is the dark horse who came out of nowhere. And he's, like, a developer in New Jersey. And he's just like, listen, I was in a band. And, like, 30 years from now, when they go on, like, their greatest hits tour, he's going to rack in that extra money again. But he's going to have probably, like, buildings on top of buildings on top of buildings in, like, New York and New Jersey. And he's not going to have to, like, I don't know, prance around at, like, 80 years old singing, like, his greatest hits. You know what I mean? I feel like he's prepping for that not to happen. So good for you guys if you get engaged. Mazel tov. Final headline of the day before we jump into what really counts, which is the Housewives of New York recap and Southern Charm recaps. And, like, a little bit of sprinkle of Jersey Shore in there, but it's just, like, a good show, so there's not really much to say. Ryan Lochte, who, honestly, like, at not this Olympic, not the 2016 Olympics, but the one before that one, he was, like, the heartthrob, you know, like, before he dyed his hair, like, what, silver or white or something, I don't know. He was like, oh my God, like, move over, Michael Phelps. Who is that, like, gorgeous man behind you? And then 2016, like, he dyed his hair and he was still good looking, but he dyed his hair and it just looked a little bit weird. Anyways, if you guys remember, and I didn't until I read this article, but remember when he did that interview with Billy Bush and he said that he was robbed at gunpoint in Brazil because the Olympics were in Brazil? And then we, after some hard investigative reporting, they found out that he, in fact, lied. And he admitted that he was drunk when he was getting interviewed by Billy Bush. And he kind of just said whatever, thinking that it would, like, pass, I guess, and didn't understand the ramifications of what he said. Which, if you're blackout or you're really drunk, I guess that makes sense. But that's like a big lie, you know, to be like, well, you know, I was held at gunpoint. It's like, you know, there's other things you could do. You could be like, well, I fell, I sharted, like, I did something embarrassing, but to say, like, you were held at gunpoint, that's not really what drunk people do. At least that's not what I do. But who's to know what is the norm? But what is factual here is that he was subpoenaed and he can face up to 6 months in jail after the court ruled that he can be prosecuted for falsely stating he was robbed at gunpoint. So a Brazilian judge subpoenaed him. I guess the silver lining is that he doesn't have to go back to Brazil. He can testify and do everything in the United States, which is good for him. But what I read, which was kind of annoying, was that he rejected a deal that would have dismissed any further charges. So they wouldn't have been able to subpoena him. He wouldn't have had to testify if he would have paid a fine of $70,000. So I don't know. Maybe he has financial trouble, but if there's even a possibility that one of my actions, and I was in his position, like I have gold medals and stuff like that, and if I was in a position where, okay, either I might get like a month or max 6 months in a Brazilian prison, which is not like an American prison, not like American prisons are like Ritz, but it's very, very different, or pay a $70,000 fine, apologize, and, you know, keep going. And he has a son, by the way, so that would suck if he did have to go to prison, even if it's for a month or two. Prison changes you. He did not accept the deal, so he rejected the deal to pay $70,000. Now, for someone like us, who's just like normal human beings, $70,000 is a lot of money, but like when you're Ryan Lochte and you can literally sell one of your medals, if you really had to stay out of jail, wouldn't you do that? Now, I'm assuming that there was some financial thing here, because I don't know anyone who would reject a deal to pay a fine and say, oh, you know what, they're probably never going to subpoena me anyways. Like, that's not a chance you take. So if anyone ever like gives you a deal, take the freaking deal if you don't have to do any jail time associated with the deal. Like, now he has a son, like his life is different. Honestly, I don't get this. I hope he doesn't have to go to jail. I think if he's admitted his wrongdoing, he was drunk, he was stupid, he should have just taken the deal. I don't get this. So there is a chance that Ryan Lochte, the Olympian, can face 1 to 6 months in prison and a fine. Don't forget that he will most likely, if he testifies and everything like that, if they find that wrongdoing, even if he does a month in jail, he will still have to pay a fine. So I think that he shot himself in the foot here, and he should have just paid the freaking $70,000, because now there's a chance he'll have to pay a fine, which might be less, but then he'll go to prison. So I don't know. This is, I guess, a different life, because I sure as shit would have taken that deal and like ran all the way home and like built a house in like North Dakota and just like relaxed on the outback kind of thing. So good luck, Ryan Lochte. I hope you don't go to jail. I don't know. You should have taken the deal. So we're at the end of our stories, which means that now we can delve into recaps, which honestly, it is the highlight of my day doing recaps. I watched Rahoni, so The Real Houses of New York. If none of you that are listening watch Rahoni or Southern Charm or Jersey Shore, but I'm talking about Jersey Shore for like a little bit, then the podcast is officially finished. And have a great day. But everyone who wants the recaps, it's gonna be a good one. Okay, so we'll start with Rahoni, just because I love Rahoni. I think it's my favorite of the franchises, because even when there is drama, like there was at the dinner table yesterday, there always seems to be a way for them to either talk it out, yell it out, or laugh it out. And I find with other franchises, and even New Jersey, and kind of not really Beverly Hills, they're like grudge holders, I found, on Beverly Hills. New Jersey, because like Melissa and Teresa are sister-in-laws, like they kind of can have banter and it's fun. But I feel like New York, because I don't know, they're all such boss bitches in their own like world, that they all can literally take a dump on each other and they'll still find a way to sit down and finish their meal, which, that's all you want with friends, is you want to be able to tell them to like screw off and then be like, can you pass me like the cheese? Like, that is what you want in a friend. And I just love their dynamic. Anyway, the big dynamic shift is that they're at the, I don't even know what it's called, the Grace Flower or the Mayflower Inn, something like that. It's in Connecticut. It looks really, really pretty. And the new like trifecta that I never ever knew I needed, nor did I ever think would happen, is Luann, Sonia, and Bethany. And I love them together. And I feel like people are being dicks or saying, well, that's like her, like, because everyone, no one else is talking to her, like Cal's not talking to her, like this is like her consolation prize. No, because anyone who's friends with Sonia is cool. Anyone who's friends with Luann is cool. Anyone who's friends with Bethany is cool. Like, I find all these ladies so cool, and they all bring their own thing. Like, yes, Bethany's very smart and very successful, but, like, life is not all about, you know, how much money you have in your bank and how quick you are, how witty you are when someone insults. You know, there's other things that matter in life besides those two things. So to kind of make it seem like Bethany's doing them a favor, having them as friends, I think is bullshit. And honestly, it's kind of fucking rude because that means that they think Sonia and Luann are like lower class than she is, which I don't. I think they're all, first of all, they're all rich in their own right, and they're all doing good things, and they're all pretty cool to me. Anyway, the first thing is the whole Dorinda, Sonia. I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on with Dorinda this season. I love Dorinda, and I will always like Dorinda because I find she has a very good heart, and she's very funny, but there's something wrong with her relationship with Sonia. I don't know what it is. It has obviously something to do with their husbands, and I don't know. Something is just switched in Dorinda's head. I don't think she trusts Sonia. Honestly, I don't think Sonia should trust Dorinda because they will fall out again. It will happen because there's so much animosity there that when you see, like, Dorinda speak to her, you want, like, she wants to cut her where it hurts. And to start off a friendship like that, I know that they're like, this year we're going to do better, like, it's going to be better, but it never works. You, at some point with friends like that, you kind of just have to cut your losses. And here's the thing. I was speaking to someone about this, and they weren't, like, Team Sonia or Team Dorinda, but they were trying to, like, convince me that Dorinda was right in the whole, like, Lady Morgan thing. And I don't think she is. Like, she was married to a Morgan. And like Bethany said, which I love that Bethany is standing up for Sonia, because I hate when, because Ramona doesn't stand up for Sonia. And that's what I really don't like about Ramona, is that she picks and chooses who to stand up for and when to be vocal. And it's always in the wrong times, because she always kind of just jumps on the bandwagon. Like, if Bethany's standing up for her, okay, fine, I'll stand up for her. But she won't do it on her own. That aside, I love Ramona. I think she is the gift that keeps on giving on Real Housewives, and she should never leave Bravo. Her retirement should be the clubhouse. I'm just saying. So, like, never, never let her go. But I was happy that Bethany stood up for Sonia, because Sonia's always left to defend herself, and I don't know why. She, honestly, to me, seems like a good girl. Like, she seems like a fun person. She let Tinsley stay at her house. Like, I'm not even trying to bring that up again, but, like, she opened up her home, and she always opens up her home to people. She even tells Juan, like, if you need anything, like, let me know. And she keeps repeating it. She's not that friend that's like, oh, hey, I heard you were back in town, like, text me. She's someone that's like, oh my God, I heard you're back in town, let me know when you're free, I'm free tomorrow, if you can make it. Like, she's that type of friend that I find will go the extra mile. And for some reason, people give her a bad rap. I like her. I think she's nice. And honestly, if I had to stay at someone's house and someone would come to check if I got home okay, it would probably be Sonia. Especially now, she's not drinking, she's level-headed. I like her. Dorinda doing the whole, that's your husband's crest. And then Bethany saying, like, it was crazy. She always talking about the crest and always bringing up the fact that her husband, that they're divorced. And I like that Bethany was like, well, her daughter is the heir. And it's like, well, right there, if she, it's like women who get divorced but keep their husband's name, right? I feel it's the same thing. And it's not hurting anyone. Even if it's her crest by marriage, she was married to them. And for the record, and if you check Sonia's Instagram, anytime there's some type of exhibit with the Morgans, her and her daughter are both there representing the family. So to say that that's not her family, first of all, it's rude, because maybe Sonia identifies with these people as her family. So you can't tell people who and who are not your family. Don't do that. That's not cool. And second of all, it is still her family, because if she would have just been like the divorced, scorned ex-wife, they would be like, we want your daughter to come because she's the heir. You can drive her, but we don't want you in pictures there. Where the opposite happened. She's in every picture there. I encourage you to go look. So to say that's on your family, that's on your crest, it's bullshit. Because when her daughter has kids, those kids will inherit the crest, and those will be her grandkids. So, like, don't mess with someone's family if their family is okay. Like, Sonia's gone through a lot. Her daughter and her are okay. Like, her relationship with her ex-husband seems to be intact. Leave her alone, you know? Just leave her alone. She's a nice girl. She's not gonna come for you if you don't send for her, I feel, with her. I like Bethany standing up for her. Bethany and Dorinda straight up don't like each other. I'm sorry, but it's not even the Nutcracker. It's before the Nutcracker. Dorinda's always had this kind of thing with Bethany. I think she thinks that Bethany is pretentious and sanctimonious, which I do feel like there are times where she's very sanctimonious and her shit doesn't stink. But I just don't see these two getting along. And I feel like Bethany's actually, she's been a lot chiller to watch this season because she's not tearing everyone down. And it's true, in the past, she just kind of insults everyone. And even if it's like a funny insult, when you look back, you're like, wow, does she actually think this stuff about me? Because that's kind of mean, some of the stuff she says. But I like Bethany, and I'm on Bethany's side with the whole Carol versus Bethany thing. Just because I like Carol when she's not a best friend. Because when she's a best friend with Bethany, I didn't like her with Bethany because everything Bethany would do, she would copy. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Like, if she wanted to leave a party, Bethany wanted to leave a party, Carol would be like, I got my coat. Like, she'd be driving. Like, she would tell the driver, like, fuck off, I'm driving the car. Like, she was like a ride or die in that sense. But now they're not friends anymore, and I just don't see how they were ever friends to begin with because they're so freaking different and they're so opposite. And I don't know. I just don't know. Their relationship, honestly, their friendship to me never made sense because Bethany is, like, so type A, like, anal retentive, like, just she's like, basically, like, a sticky note. Like, everything needs to be, like, perfect, hung well. And Carol is just like a loose leaf. Like, she kind of just flows where she goes because she had the marriage, she had the great husband, and unfortunately that didn't last as long as she wanted to. But I understand now her point of view, and she said something really interesting. I'm going to wrap up with New York soon, but she said, like, I got married at 34 or something, and I buried my husband before I was 40, something along those lines, and I ran my first marathon at 54. So she said, like, no one judge my life because my life is not conventional. And I found that to be really poignant because oftentimes, even Bethany, through, like, you know, her and Tinsley have a lot in common. They don't have kids. They're not, you know, they're not married. They don't have their own business. So they're the same. And I just feel like that's kind of a low blow because that whole thing with Carol, when she said that, her life has not been ordinary. And if you would look on paper, when she got married, her life was going to be like housewife central, like super cute, like always partying with her husband, like they would have been a duo. And unfortunately, it didn't work out for her. So to throw that shit in her face, I don't find that was right because if it was up to her, she would still be married. You know what I mean? So don't throw that she doesn't have a kid. You know, she's not married anymore. It's not the same. Her and Tinsley are not the same at all because Tinsley was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. Carol wasn't. And I'm not team Carol, but that kind of annoyed me because Bethany is not the end-all be-all of who gets a pass, who doesn't, who's considered smart, and who's considered dumb. Because there's been a lot of businesswomen before her on the show. There's going to be a lot of businesswomen after her on the show. Cool your jets on being the authority, but I'm still team Bethany. I just think she has to stop being the authority. Anyway, in terms of the feuds, I'm on Bethany's side against Carol because I've known Bethany for longer and my loyalty will be to Bethany. In terms of the feud between Bethany and Dorinda, I'm also on Bethany's side because I don't know why Dorinda doesn't like her. Maybe it's because Bethany called her a drunk, but she moved past that, so I'm not really sure. With the whole Dorinda and Sonia, I'm on Sonia's side for that. So, but I still like Dorinda. And you know what's crazy about the Housewives of New York is that I can literally say bad things about all of them from this season, but I still love them all so much. And I can't say, well, who would you get rid of the cast? Literally none of them. Bring them all back. They're amazing. I love all of them. And they're just the best. They're my favorite cast. Okay, switching gears really quick to Southern Charm. Southern Charm was amazing. I love Chelsea. She's my favorite character. She is such a boss bitch feminist. I love it. She has her own business. Unless a man can provide her with the love and support that she needs, she is not with it. And I'm kind of annoyed, though, because I think her and Austin would have made a really great match. I know that they dated kind of, sort of, but she never really gave it a full try. And I feel like he wants a relationship. And I don't know. I feel like he should hustle harder and have, like, that Love Actually moment where, like, he goes to her house and does the cue cards, because I feel like she needs a big gesture and then she'll finally cave, because she's so tough and so raw that she needs someone to be like, listen, I really like you and I want to be with you. And I feel like Austin should just do that, because I love Chelsea so much. She's a great friend and she's a ride or die. Like, she's someone that if she moved to New York, she would survive, because she's a ride or die bitch. Cameron, of course, is amazing. Shep is doing great. I like Shep and Catherine. I want them to date and to get married. Because they are just, they're so supportive of each other, and I just love their relationship. Thomas and Ashley are basically, it's like watching an old-timey movie where, like, the fireworks, you can see the man doing the fireworks in the bottom of the film, you know? Nothing's right. It's all off. Nothing makes sense. It's all fake. It's all bullshit to me. Like, I thought that she was going to leave him, but obviously she doesn't, because they're still together. But I really thought, like, she was going to get up and he was going to follow her, and that's how they were going to get back together. But she was like, well, you know what? If you'll have me, I'd like another try. What are you playing, Monopoly? Like, this is your life. Like, you left your city and all your friends and family and your nursing license, because it's true, she does have to wait for everything to transfer over to Charleston, but you left, like, everything, and now you're begging this guy to give you another round on the block. Like, is he Mr. Monopoly and you're, like, the dirty old shoe? Like, it was so sad to watch. And I'm on, she's getting so much hate on the internet, and people are trolling her hard. I don't want to add to it, but I also don't want her to go away unscathed. She needs to, like, be a bit more of a boss in her own right. And if she is a nurse, like, don't say, I like not working. Like, she said something like, I like not working, or like, I like being with you all the time. But it's like, dude, like, no, that's the opposite of what he wants to hear. Like, Catherine was literally, and when Catherine, I'm sorry, can we just talk about when Catherine said she was living in the basement of the house? He didn't put her on the first floor of the house. That literally, that fucked me up. I was like, he made you sleep with your baby in the basement of the house? Like, he's disgusting. He's, I just can't even with him. And, like, if he had a woman living in his house, in his basement with his daughter, and he fucked that up, even though she was trying to be the best housewife ever, do you think that you, like, hanging on to his leg is gonna, like, make you seem more desirable? No, not at all. Not one bit. So, like, Ashley, honestly, I hope that her health is secure, because I know that a lot of people are throwing really nasty things at her. She's not a nice girl. I don't like her, but I don't wish, like, evil on anyone, because I don't even know them. But, like, you need to rebrand, because you've fallen off the beaten path. And there could not be more Team Catherine signage. It's literally like watching, like, the World Cup. It's all Team Catherine. Craig and Naomi. Naomi, I don't know. Naomi is, like, a cool chick. I saw her on Watch What Happens. I followed her on Instagram. But she's kind of mean to Craig. And listen, I get it. Craig needs to get his life together. But, like, he's not a bad guy. And there are men on the show that are genuinely, like, not nice. And are just, they're just rude. And Craig is not rude. Especially, he's not rude to women. And he's a big champion of all the women on the show. So Naomi shouldn't, like, she just shouldn't be mean to him. Like, there's no reason for you to be mean, especially when it was a mutual breakup and a mutual decision. Don't just throw daggers because you can. It's not cool. Like, leave him alone. He's a nice guy, and you know it, because or else you wouldn't have been with him for all those years. So, like, don't be a bitch. That being said, I do like her, and I find her really cool and pretty. Anyways, that's pretty much it for Southern Charm. Nothing crazy happened. It was just Ashley being crazy, and I'm obviously Thomas is still in love with Catherine, but that everyone knows. I don't really have to talk about it. It's kind of like an unknown sonnet. No, a known sonnet. Okay, I'm getting tired, y'all. Last show was Jersey Shore. I watched The Family Vacation. I loved this season. I thought it was good. Some people are saying it wasn't good. I liked it. I thought it was fun. I missed having these guys on my screen. Like, I missed the fist bumping and the less kind of choreographed interactions, because they're always together. So any interaction they have with each other is real. Whereas on other reality shows, like, oh my God, I didn't know that you were coming to a coffee shop when there's like 1,000 coffee shops, but you both went to the same one for the first time. Like, that, the Hills vibes doesn't work for me anymore. When, like, everything is, like, basically scripted. Like, they basically flew them to that spot and were like, pretend like you didn't see each other. Jersey Shore, it just seems more organic. I love everyone. If I had to pick someone not to come back, would be Ronnie, on the sole fact that I think he does need professional help. And Jenny being a potster, honestly, it made my blood boil yesterday because, like, they were doing well, and Ronnie has, serious anger issues, and we've seen this in the past with how angry he would get with Sam, with the house guests. This is a guy who needs rehab, and I'm not saying for alcoholism. I'm saying, like, he needs, like, you know when Selena Gomez went in for, like, dehydration. He needs one of those, like, fancy schmancy rehabs where, like, you learn how to speak to other people, you rewire your brain. And, like, I don't know. He just needs something like that. And everyone getting on Mike's back about saying he needs rehab. Like, no, he's the only one who was being straight up with him. Like, he needs to get some type of help. And he's needed it for a very, very long time. But now that he's having a kid with... I don't even want to talk about that story today. If you guys saw in the news, she's now saying that he hit her. And she has a mugshot because she was driving and he wanted to get out, and he didn't take off his seatbelt in time, so she was dragging him for a little bit. Like, he needs rehab, she also needs help, and that baby needs good parents. And I think the situation was on point, and they shouldn't have been like, well, Mike, you shouldn't have said anything, because this opened up a discussion, and now we know that he was 100% sure. And I'm not saying for alcoholism or anything like that. I just think the guy needs to rewire how he reacts to situations, because it is not right. And it's just not good for his kid or for anyone involved. All in all, I love Pauly D. He's my favorite. Snooks, always a pleasure. Vinny, always good. This situation, he did it amazing. The whole cast was great. And yeah, that was pretty much it for shows. It was a pretty good week for shows and for celebrity gossip. So, you know the drill. If you have any comments, questions, anything positive, nothing negative, because there's so much negativity and it's too much, anything at all, you can email soundingsocialpodcast@gmail.com if you have anything to say. If not, just subscribe. There's going to be more. Like I said, I'm just starting this off, so I'm kind of figuring out how to work this around my schedule. And it's more of a social experiment that I'm doing this. I'm not doing this for anything else. I just like talking about these topics, and maybe you guys will like listening and we can have a conversation and engage. There was no current events today, which I know usually I do current events, but there was so much television that there was just no room for current events today. All in all, everyone have an amazing day, and just be kind and be happy, and I will see you all very, very soon. Bye.